this week, we're feeling really powered up. We're feeling powerful. Miles, what's your superpower?
So my super, hold on. Sorry. it's the Play Myself Show. Welcome to the Play Myself Show. I'm Miles, and today we're going to talk superpowers. Yeah. So when we say superpowers, is it like the superpower we wish we had or the superpower we think we have? What are we saying?
Oh, I mean, it's the power that I do have. I have the power to make a killer fucking marinara sauce. And like, it'll knock some people out. Like, it's perfect, honestly.
From scratch?
From scratch. Yeah. Like just the tomatoes. Fresh tomatoes are the best, clearly. But like, I mean, I'm like, I love Italian cooking so much. It's comfort food. It's my superpower.
Is that your heritage?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm like I'm technically like half Italian, but like that was like the only culture I was raised in. The other half is Irish, and that's like all famine and death. So, you know, didn't have much else to grab onto.
So, like, I mean, maybe that's a superpower, but I would say my superpower would be in that light, it would be seduction.
Seduction. Okay.
Yeah. I think I'm pretty good at seduction.
Okay.
I mean, I can attest.
Yeah. What do you mean?
Same. Let's hear.
I mean, like the seduction, like fabulous game. Maybe like I'm good at that shit.
I could. Yeah. No. I could do it though.
Okay.
Samantha, what do you think?
My superpower?
Yeah. Let's hear it.
I like to think that I have a superpower of being able to stand up in front of a crowd and speak to them, even if I don't know them. Public speaking has never been an issue for me.
I think public speaking in a way is like, honestly, and like the way that like humans communicate is like telepathy, bringing one emotion that someone's feeling to another. Mm. I think that is definitely a superpower.
I agree.
Yeah.
I struggle with that a lot, even in my early 30s. But I think I'm pretty good at that now too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You saying you were always good at it?
I've been good at it for a very long time. I don't know that it was forever. But as soon as I got out of college, I was a high school teacher.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Nice. And prior to that, I was always in some sort of, I was always looking for some sort of leadership role.
I would say that high school has to be the hardest thing to teach as a teacher. Because it's gratifying, but I would think it's the least gratifying because you get so many asshole kids.
Yeah, you get all of the shit from the, you know, the public school system not paying you anything. Right. You get all the shit from the kids because they think they know everything at this point. They're all about to go off to college. They don't care about what you're teaching. And if this is what you did for a passion job, then good luck. Yeah. You know, I mean, Samantha, is that accurate? What level of kids did you teach? What age?
My first year I taught, I was, let's see, how old was I? I think it was 21 or so. I taught the first... I came in at the second half of a school year, right after Christmas break, because the kid had died, so they had an immediate need.
Oh.
And I was just out of college, I needed a job,
uh-huh.
And I didn't have a cert. And I came in, they gave me ninth graders, the algebra class, and then like the 10th graders.
Stop, though, if you could.
And then the 10th graders as, let me start that over. Let me answer the question over again. When I first started teaching, they gave me ninth grade algebra and 10th grade geometry.
Shit.
And that was I came in the second half of the school year. And then after that, are we recording?
Yeah, we're recording. We're good. It's recording on both things.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. There's a lot of distractions over here.
I'm so sorry, Sam.
This is I'm going to record honestly. Things. All right. I'm recording in this too.
Are we good?
Yeah, we're recording.
Okay, cool. So the second year, I decided to come back, and then they gave me Algebra 2 and a physics class, and then I joined the Navy and did all this other shit, and then later on, did teaching again, and then I had an engineering class and a, what else did I teach?
Oh, you had an engineering class. What, like, I mean, I'm a huge nerd. Like, I don't know. I'm a huge nerd. Like,
it wasn't, like, quite, like, the engineering, like, you'd think. It was, the title of it was Engineering Technology.
Oh, so it was like
kind of like a technician kind of class.
The intro, like, oh, guys, this is a really cool thing. Python, check this out.
Oh, yeah.
I actually want to learn Python.
It's great. It's awesome. I mean, there's another one coming up. My tech friend, he's telling me that Julia is apparently faster in certain applications and is even easier to understand than Python, which is wild to me. Because Python is basically just common English.
Wow, to you. I remember when I first, I mean, now we're geeking out, but like, I remember when I first got a Raspberry Pi, I was like, everybody's like, oh, you just fucking run so much Python with this. I was like, dude, what the fuck is Python doing? I just want to go to like that HubSpot and just download shit on my Raspberry Pi. Yeah, but like, you gotta,
Bam, prompt time. What subject were you surprisingly good at in school?
Oh my God, math. Like, off the bat, it's so easy.
Sam goes prompt time.
Like, I go, I from the moment that I could walk, my mom was quizzing me 5 plus 10.
Yeah, like, I was like that.
I was like, we'd watch Side Chase on PBS Kids. That show was amazing. Like the writing for that show, Dirk Gottfried was Digit. I will never forget his performance. Yeah. You guys know it. Like,
I don't know it.
He was, oh gosh.
I'm a lot older than you too. It's like a lot of my shit, like we didn't have like the, I'm 40. So like we didn't have a lot of that, you know, influencer type deal.
Yeah.
So it was just like, my mom just gave me like cool things, like cool posters on the wall. And she was like, if you memorize this, you can get a comic book.
Oh, okay. Mm. Okay.
My thing that we had in school was we had these tickets that we can go get pizza. Personal pan pizza? Oh, yeah. I had to book it.
Yeah.
They do that now. Like, so I bring my son to the library for reading, though. Okay. And then, like, they'll, like, give him a book. And then, like, if he, like, say, like, if he reads 15 minutes a day and we bring it back, and at the end of the week, he'll get, like, a free scoop of Stewart's ice cream.
Oh, cool. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Cool. Is that, like, through the public library? Or is it, like you know, the book fair or something from,
It's the public library.
That's awesome.
Public library, and I don't mean to rant on this, but the public library is kind of shit because, like, they won't let him get a library card here until he has to wait, like, 4 months.
Wait, what the fuck? That sucks.
But he has one in New York City, and he has one in Delaware.
That sucks. Yeah. I feel like public library is, like, one of the best public services out there. Like, I mean, library. Just, like, from a conceptual level.
I don't know.
I'm really, really good friends with one of the board of directors in the Gilderlands, the Gilderland District. She's great. The library system is totally hooked up.
I don't think the library system is the best anywhere because I feel like when you have a child, right?
Yeah.
I feel like they should automatically, like, push, like, a library card. Even, like, moving to... Once someone knows that you live somewhere, they should be like, look, come to the library. Uh-huh. But the way they make the library is like, yeah, you really have to go seek it out and to join it. And like, that shit sucks to me.
I feel like that's a problem that a lot of like places in America have. Cause like, I mean, there are some really great resources, say like, you know, at the park or the town hall or if there's like, a group of babysitters who like, you know, all town's babysitters are attached to like this network. And there'll be pamphlets and stuff outside my public library back at home. And it's kind of like a community center. Like if there's not a community center in your community or there's not like a religious center, like a
JCC.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Or like I grew up with like Christian youth basketball. It was awesome. It was so much fun every winter. And there's that like community building aspect of public libraries that like I'm just crazy about. Also, like I feel like they kind of represent something to me, like in like, you know, the books that I've read about like, you know, pull yourself up by your bootstraps sort of thing, like go library, grind and then like learn all you can learn.
Right.
So I'm just really biased towards them. I really love them, you know what I mean?
So we talked talents earlier. Do you think either you think you have a hidden talent?
Hidden talent? One that is like still hidden to even us ourselves?
Well, no, you wouldn't know about it if that's the case.
I can juggle.
You can?
Oh.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
I can ride a unicycle.
Can you both at the same time?
Poorly, but yes.
Oh, let's go.
Where'd you learn that?
I taught myself when I was in high school. Got a just random bug up my ass to learn something.
Nice. Yeah.
Well, I was like, here's my thing.
My
like,
dad ride a unicycle, by the way.
Like, the total like, me trait.
Nah, let's hear it.
I have always been like shiny object syndrome, not just to like day to day like tasking, but like hobbies. Uh-huh. I have started and tried and gotten decent at so many things, and then I just find some new thing and then I just jump to it.
Right.
First, it was like piano.
Oh, I was gonna think of musical instruments,
and then I tried guitar.
Yeah,
and then cello.
Yeah,
taught myself how to play cello, I can sort of kind of play. It's been a while, but I can probably do it. I can poorly play so many instruments.
Okay. Okay.
That's cool.
And then there's also like arts and crafts where I'll learn how to do like cross stitch. I'll be like, hey, that's my, or then I'll do this and then I'll do that and then I'll do this, this, and this.
Yeah.
And I get into just so many things. I've never gotten very good at one thing.
Nah, that's absolutely false. I know I don't wanna call someone out, but like, listen, genuinely, the ability to pick things up in and of itself is a talent.
I agree.
Being able to you know, seeing it from one light is like, oh, bouncing from task to task. Seeing it from another light is being willing to try new things, right. Being willing to invest that time into it every time.
I just wish I was like really fucking good at one thing.
You are though. So for example, right? You play the guitar better than I do.
Oh God.
Because I don't play the guitar.
That's
right.
Okay, fine. It's like, yeah.
So zero. No, like, exactly. No, that's what it is. Like, when you think about it, like, that's what it is. And if you have a bunch of those things, you win.
Uh-huh.
Right? Because, like, it's not like I'm inept and I can't ever learn the guitar, but, like, the time that you spent to learn the guitar puts you ahead.
But I struggle with, like, ADHD stuff.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
And I don't necessarily like the fact that I can't focus on one hobby. I wish I got very good at one thing and didn't get like bored.
Hey, name that thing.
You don't want to.
Well, you can if you name that thing. If you like, all right, we're gonna get good at podcasting.
Yeah,
I'm like, yo, let's do this shit.
Doing this shit is something.
And then yeah, and then like you get better every week.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But like that's who you are. So let's just do it.
Speaking into a microphone is one thing that like people don't really appreciate. Because unless you're reading something that was well written, like improvising in front of an audience is one thing.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Like unless you're scripted, don't try to sound scripted.
It's like trying to fall asleep where you can't think about it.
You've probably done a bunch of this, right?
A bunch of this, but it's like it always gets back to what we're doing right now.
Yeah.
So like no matter how hard I try to make it or structure it,
yeah,
or whatever, like there's always the Sam who is like, nah, look, I got to run a show. I got this
and that.
No, I know. But there's always more structure around.
Yeah.
But from my experience, I know like if it slaps, it slaps.
If it's good, it's good.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to like make everybody happy.
Yeah, and that's the bullshit. I'm like on some fuck the world shit. Like, yeah, not fuck the world, like on some not make everybody happy shit, but it was like, yo, you gotta make yourself happy first. And then once you're happy, just like Leo was saying earlier, your vibe spread.
Right,
if you got positive vibe, you got love in your heart, that's gonna spread because people will gravitate. Nobody wants to be around a downer. So it's like, if you're happy and your vibes are good, everybody wants to be around somebody who vibes are good, no matter what.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's like the people do have telepathy, but it's not for words, it's for feelings. Mm-hmm. You know, and like people are infatuated with being able to feel and emote with someone else and being able to bounce that off someone else and to resonate with like a shared hobby, for example. That is some like the most important like skills to cultivate, like kids will be put into daycares and into common nurseries from like the moment that they are able to be left alone for like an hour or more, because that is like one of the most important things for everyone.
So, and, what do you mean?
Well, like the sort of joke around like single kid, like one kid families, like, oh, that's, yeah, that's the neighbor's kid.
Both have one kid. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
No, just say it, speak your truth. Just so I can kind of tell you if it's true or tell you like from my
experience. You have a better perspective.
Yeah, but just tell me what the word around the fucking campfire is.
Well, from like just the jokes that I heard, at least from like my culture in high school, probably completely out of smoke out of my fucking ass. Like, like it's the notion of like kids who don't sort of emulate with each other enough, or they don't pick up on cues same way, or they don't pick up on the local culture the same way.
I can see that.
Yeah. And so that's another thing. Like I had a friend in high school moved around all the time. And like he grew, born in Italy, grew up in the Caribbean, moved to southern New York, not New York City, and then moved upstate New York to go to college. And I am one of his longest standing friends that he's ever had, and I've known him for 4 years. This guy is like genuinely like a world traveler, so much to the point that he had a journal about the coordinates where he was at when he would journal. That's how much he traveled.
I think that's dope.
I think it's fucking awesome. But like, he's always told me that whenever we get into our feelings or whenever he's feeling down, I'm talking to him like, yeah, man, like, what's going on? What's wrong with you? Are you okay? And like, it'll always come back to like, man, I'm like, it feels like I don't get it. You know, yeah. I feel like I'm like alone in the room sometimes.
That's regular shit though, I think.
It is, but it's harder when you haven't had the chance to develop a repertoire with, you know, the people that you want to be spending like day to day with.
Wait, so you think that you have that because you didn't grow up like that?
I think I have a more comfortable sense of self and like social acumen because I grew up in one place and I had the opportunity to like grow with people and to like bounce ideas off people and get called out on my shit when I'm doing something wrong and to be a member of a community for a long standing period of time so that I can develop as a person.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
You know why that's interesting? Because most people that I know, and not myself included, because I joined the military, but they have like, maybe you could count on one hand, like friends before college.
Yeah.
And I feel like people make their best friends in college.
Oh, for sure.
And college is just a salad bowl of every, you know, person from a different areas. Mm-hmm. And like, if that's where you're forming your best friends, mm-hmm. where does that theory like play in? Except for when you go home on college break and like, you know, you sleep with the person that you fucking thought that you never liked you or whatever. Like, that's the only thing I can think of.
Nah, it's actually like, it makes even more sense because you're entering into a place where there are no in-groups, there are no out-groups,
right.
And you and everyone else is going to get a clean slate when you get there. And the difference between someone who, in my very caricaturous experience of the joke that I was saying before was like a person who only understand themselves in one caricaturish light, and they don't have the confidence to, you know, be them like truly themselves, unless they maintain this sort of like brief and like snapshot and like, you know, catchy song of a diet version of themselves that they had like, you know, paired. Before going into like a social situation.
So I'm just trying to understand what you're saying. So
sure.
What you're saying is like,
could you say that again?
Yeah.
Okay. So
try to think of it. Say that again.
Okay.
Can you cut that? You had a good sentence.
Yo, hit the,
but it was like 50% ums and likes.
Hit the take one.
What? Just
hit the clapper thing.
Okay, so that was taken. Here, ready for taking.
No, just so I can see it. I can see it on the thing. All right, now hit it. Yeah, right, now say it.
The diet version of yourself is this sort of watered down thing that people package before they get into a social situation because no one wants to be the weird one out. No one wants to be the oddball. And when you slowly let that mask down and people start getting to know you or you get into vulnerable situations with your friends, that's where real bonds form. That's where, you know, 3 a.m. conversations in the college dorm room, you know, talking about like,
that's yeah, what I'm
this
saying. And that.
Like, this is like, oh man, I never even thought about it this way. You know, I never even like, oh, you have a lot of great ideas. Like bouncing, like when you get away from this like life buoy or like, you know, like life raft and throw yourself out into the water in this sort of like social ocean. You got like a lot of fear of drowning, but then if you find someone else to swim with, then that just makes it that much better.
I feel like people, like you're in, if you weren't popular in high school, I feel like college is where you bloom, right? But I feel like if you're popular in high school, you have a chance to go down in college. Mm-hmm. It's like you're not the shit.
Did you go to college?
I did go to college. Yeah, I was a mechanical engineer.
Oh, you're mechanical. I thought you said software. I don't know why.
You said the same thing last week.
I don't know why. Yeah. You keep thinking that. But then that shit drives.
Because I'm a nerd.
No, because he was talking about ads.
Oh, whatever. I
mean, apps and shit.
Oh, yeah.
But, so I feel like that's what happens. But I distinctly remember, like, in high school, like, shitting on friends and doing, like, all types of fuck shit. Like, shit that I was like, yo, like, it was like, I would, like, slash my tires if I was me, right? Like, I feel like in high school, like, you're mean. Like, high school teaches you how to be fucking cutthroat. Like, especially, like, because you're making crazy decisions.
You know, during that lesson.
Yeah, no, but that's what it was for me. You know what I mean? But I do see what you're saying because, like, I moved to Massachusetts to go to high school. And then, like, I was in New York. It was different. But it was just, like, I looked at it like opportunity. I did look at it like a clean slate. But then, to me, like, I mean, figuring out how to be, like, authentic and, like, the best version of yourself, I think that you get that as an adult. But I feel like, and I went to college, like, on and off fucking 19 years, right? But I feel like you get that glimpse of it in high school, but I feel like college is where that shit gets polished, and that's why you're able to get a job. You meet that forever network. I feel like that's in college more than anything, because like we all know, like, people from high school, you look at the paper and they're like, dude, this dude murdered somebody. I knew it. You know what I mean? Like, we all have that shit.
Did you have any, like, anyone left from your high school?
Yeah.
What?
Like,
really?
I wouldn't say like murderers, but like people that did shit that you were like, yo, seen that shit.
Yeah.
Called it.
I saw one of the guys from my high school. He started like his own like get rich quick scheme.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And like completely shameless. Like, I saw him on Instagram and he was like completely like full tilt, like supporting a thing that like one of those random cryptocurrencies that they like pump and bust to like steal people's money.
But that's perception, right? Because I feel like it looks like that to you, like, oh shit, like he did, like, what the fuck is wrong with him? But at the same time, he could have been like, yo, like, this shit is what I'm good at.
You got me profiling him now.
Obviously, like, everybody that's like scamming, right? Like, I see scammers and shit, I'm like, yo, this motherfucker believe that shit.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's like religion, right? I don't know what your religious beliefs are, but it's like some people, they're like, oh, you're going to go to hell if this. You're going to go, God doesn't like this. God doesn't like that. And it's like, yeah, bro, what are you doing that God loves so much? Are you perfect?
Uh-huh.
You see what I'm saying? Like, so if you think that you're perfect and you think that, like, you're God's tattletale and God's telling you to tell people how bad they're doing.
Yeah.
You think that that's going to make you go to heaven faster than me?
Yeah, I mean, no one likes a tattletale in grade school. What if you think that they're going to like it now?
Yeah, and Mike, I said Mike, is it Dan? Who's the teacher in improv?
That's
Mike. Mike, yeah, Mike. So I was just low on his name.
Yeah.
So Mike says yesterday, he goes, we do everything as toddlers to get to a point like where we're taking chances, we're learning how to walk, we're failing, falling on our face. And as soon as we're able to walk, they put us in school where you can't be wrong. You know what I mean? They put us in school where shit can't go wrong. You can't fuck up. And if you fuck up, you'll be penalized. It might not be a big deal, but it still hurts you. Like, the first time you get a B, the first time you get a C, that shit hurts. Oh,
God, yeah. I mean, that was the first time. Not even, like, you know, the numbers and the grades were sort of arbitrary to me. I mean, hell, I was just learning that stuff. But, like, the sort of thing was different was then, like, some kids would figure out sooner than others, like, oh, this is, like, a, you know, from the second graders, like, oh, yeah. this is a ranking. Like, right. oh, I know how to play tag. Like, I don't want to be it. Like, I don't want to. And then we start associating things with, like, God, You know, I love the, this. This is related. I swear to God.
Go ahead.
This is One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
I started reading that book.
What? It's fucking amazing. I love that book. I love Jack Nicholson's performance in the movie. I love that story. And my dad.
The book is kind of weird though. Like, but I don't know. And I'll let you go back to it. But like, I'm reading all these freaking prison books, and I don't know why. Like, I started reading The Prince, and it was like, dude, like this shit is hard to read until I found out he was in prison.
Yeah,
he wrote it.
So that's honestly an escape for some people.
Yeah.
And I could never imagine myself in any prison complex, let alone the American prison complex.
Mm. Go ahead. One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Yeah, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Like the entire idea of it. And like, this was back in high school when like English classes were actually the shit for me. And I was like really resonating with what my teachers were saying about like, this is a microcosm of our society. This is a small snapshot of how we treat each other. And it allows us to objectively say, wait a minute, this is really fucked up.
Fucked up.
And the way that they do it in the book is Nurse Ratched is this figure of power in the insane asylum. Mm. And she doesn't call anyone out, or she doesn't pick on any of the patients. She asks questions and she gets the patients under pressure, and they're sitting in a big circle and they're looking around and they don't want to be the one that's getting picked on. So they pick on someone else. And then these lines start forming. Oh, well, you can't pick on me. Like, oh, yeah. I mean, I might have shit on the floor. Like, I'm crazy. All right. Like, that sucks. Like, but at least I didn't vomit on someone's face. Yeah, yeah. But what the fuck is wrong with you, Jeff? And like, people, you know, they kick the can down the line until what happens, just like chickens.
I love that. I love that. I love that Sam did the numbers on who spoke the most last week, right? And she's intentionally trying not to speak this week. Yeah, you are. But yeah, that is crazy. That's nutty to the point where, you know, I look at that like, I personally think that everybody's crazy, right?
Okay.
Everyone has a little crazy. And I feel like the more you try to like, but I feel like there's a balance. Like, you ever see that movie with Jack, with, what's his name? Tropic Thunder?
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, yo, never go full.
Never go full, R word.
Yeah, right? And I feel like that's so true, because I feel like you can, like, what you like to eat, you like to eat. What you like to do, you like to do. But if everyone says, okay, don't wear your seatbelt, that's crazy. Don't do this, that's crazy. And then you say, oh, I don't want to be crazy, so I won't do it. And then it's like, okay, so how far is crazy from authenticity?
About being yourself and like, no, oh, what's going 5 over the speed limit gonna do to me? Like, what's eating a cookie before dinner gonna do to me?
Eating ketchup with steak. Like, you know what I mean? Before A1 sauce, what did they eat steak with?
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like, what did people, I know people like put jelly on eggs.
You know what I mean? Like, I know, shit like that. One of my friends is way more Italian than I am, cannot stand to see pineapple on pizza. Cannot stand to see an absolute sin in his eyes.
See? You see what I'm saying? And then you would think that, you know, it's normal, but it's not. So my wife just came from Kuwait, right? And she's like, they don't believe it. Like, they don't have to use car seats. She came from the Middle East. She's like in Dubai or whatever. And
oh, damn.
I've been there. These dudes are,
oh, damn.
People are driving, and you got kids just running all through the car while people are driving.
What? Wait.
Are they retarded? Are they stupid? Are they any word you want to use to denigrate them?
I don't know. I mean, it's a completely different culture.
Right. But we would think that that's crazy. If you saw that on the drive home.
I would call it crazy.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think we say crazy, but I think it's just sensitivity to risk. It's not crazy.
Sensitivity to risk.
Yes. Because you're talking about kids playing around the streets, right?
No, I'm talking about you're driving a car.
Mm-hmm.
You have a 7-year-old, right?
Yeah.
And your 7-year-old is not in the booster, no seatbelt,
mm-hmm.
and it's just
oh,
moving about the car.
I mean, yeah, you think that the risk of the risk to not being buckled in a car is that if you're in an accident, you'll just be tossed around like a fucking rag doll.
That's a risk.
Right, but you do you understand that that's new?
Which, to whom? Your wife?
To the world. Like, that shit.
Booster seat?
Booster seats, seatbelts. Like, that, these are all, those, these are all initiatives that are new.
But they know they exist. They know they exist.
In the 80s, like, I would say even as early as, like, the 70s, that shit was not a thing.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's relatively new now to certain cultures because it introduces the norm. When it's legalized, nobody wants to do something extra, buy a thing that they don't have to. They don't understand, they don't appreciate the value of it because everybody in those nations has gotten along with being comfortable, not giving a shit that it's an extra risk. They all operate under the same set of things. Have you ever been in a country where it's like all roundabouts?
Nah, but it sounds cool.
It's fucking weird.
It's weird. It is weird.
It's weird. It hits different.
Yeah, just because, just like here, like, yeah.
I heard it's faster.
Like, these countries that have all these laws about not having booster seats, like, just consider, like, how many actual incidents are there where a booster seat would have saved a life?
Yeah.
I'll guarantee you it's not as high as you think, because the whole country's been operating that way.
Put it like this. You look at, you're Italian, right?
Yeah.
They don't have, just like, gyms like we have here in Italy.
They're getting along fine.
They're getting along fine. They smoke probably same amount of cigarettes as like our whole country.
Yeah.
And they get along fine.
I mean, they have better diet, Mediterranean diet.
Always, you gotta check your culture bias at the door, because that's the kind of thing where it's like, yeah, they don't have that. That sounds insane, but yeah, so does your shit.
But I guess that's the point that I was trying to hit home. It's like,
this thing is crazy. That if when everyone's crazy, that word is meaningless.
Okay. We agree.
Like, it's everybody has a sensitivity to certain risks. And when a whole culture has been operating under the same set of risk sensitivities, there's no incentive to operate differently until there is outside pressure. And the pressure that would be needed is a change in a sensitivity to risk.
I got it. The definition of crazy is moving. And what the majority of people do is the thing that's not crazy. And then the other stuff, anything else, is the crazy thing.
I feel like it takes crazy to make normal. So everybody, because like if you see...
One can't exist without the other.
Exactly. Because if you see someone doing something, they're like, oh, dude, this motherfucker's crazy.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like a useless word when everybody has it.
Exactly. It's just like COVID, right? And it's like, I hate to use COVID as an example, but fuck it, COVID, right? When it started, no one knew what to do. So then it's like, okay, wear your mask. And then I was like, oh, you know, if you wear the mask for 2 straight days, like you could have like a lung issue, right? And they're saying this is coming out now, but you can't blame. I hate when people blame people because they think they're smarter than them and they should know.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know if masks are necessarily like a bad thing. I mean, two of my brothers are doctors. One works in the ER in New Jersey. Another one is going to be going into residency soon. And paper masks are the ones that they wear all the time. I mean, if there was something wrong with them, then we would have been seeing those mesothelioma commercials a lot sooner about all that. So, I mean, I wouldn't go with that example in particular. But the cultural norms is the moving definition. I mean, it's like language where all words change and all words change over time. Slang becomes the new normal. And then the new gibberish becomes the new slang.
Like the word Karen, right? To me, that's highly offensive. Both my neighbors on both sides are named Karen.
Really?
It was put out yesterday. We were talking about it during improv. And it was like a joke.
I'm like, man,
I saw one of my neighbors at the supermarket 5 months ago. I said, Karen, hey, Karen. Everyone in the supermarket looked at me like I was offended. And I'm like, yo, that's my neighbor.
No.
You see what I'm saying? And I don't play that shit. So I'm just like, I try my best never to offend anyone. And I don't know if she felt the way about it. So I had to go approach her like on the block.
Mm.
Because yeah. I'm like, yo, did you feel away? Or did you know what I mean? Because like
yeah.
it made me feel weird when I was just calling her by name.
Yeah, no, I mean like also like when names themselves become like have their own meanings associated with them,
yeah.
that fucking sucks. I can't imagine being named Alexa and then Jeff Bezos going, I know what to name my shit. Like,
yeah.
Can you imagine?
Yeah.
Like, you know, there are a ton of names that people come up with and then all of a sudden it's just ruined. Not ruined, but like they have an innate connotation with them.
Yeah,
oh, man.
Exactly.
Y'all never had to pick your own name, did you?
Oh,
I was lucky enough to just fully identify with mine. And it had can shorten down Leonardo de Leo. It's honestly, it's a game changer. It's awesome.
Leonardo, your full name?
Leonardo Giuseppe Michele Gagliardo.
Oh, wow. That's something.
Motherfucker.
Say it slower, please. Swoon.
How'd you pick your name? I'm laughing because that's just sitting there. Yeah, I definitely want to know.
That's it.
I had a couple rules. One of the, because I could pull up the list of the names that I was considering, but I wanted something that was common to my birth year.
Okay.
So one that like, you know, it wouldn't be like some modern name. I don't want a name that just got invented, like,
and not something
if
like
you ever look at like name statistics about when how names evolve over time, like yeah. that can show you a couple of graphs. It's pretty cool, but you can see when names gained popularity,
right,
and when they lost popularity, and seeing how spiky they are, it's actually kind of interesting.
We know you got that. Yeah, we know you got that.
I got one that's interesting, and I want to see if you guys can tell what is the reason for the spike in mine.
No, but okay. I want to know your reason.
That's unrelated. So I wanted something that was common in my birth year, and mine was, I think, number 5, the 5th most common birth name in 1987.
Nice round name, yeah.
I wanted something that could be shortened.
Yeah.
Into some, like
a nickname, yeah.
I wanted something that was unambiguously feminine.
Huh, yeah.
Like, there's no, I mean, the full name anyway, like the short name worked for me really well,
right.
Because it was and still technically is my initials, SAM.
Mm-hmm.
So Sam was always something that I liked for myself because it was my initial anyway, but never liked it or never asked for it because it just like never resonated as something that would be fitting of someone like me.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
You can't ask for your own nickname.
Oh, I've tried to do it. It doesn't work.
You could do that. No, you it's all about the rollout.
I mean, if you have you can just like, walk into a room, put your dick on the table, and just throw your name out.
Yeah.
You're like, what up, I'm T-Bone.
You could do that shit.
Of course you can. But like, if you're in a group where you...
Yeah, you can. Fucking just did. He was like, yo, I'm Leo G. Tell me that shit. So I'm like, okay, Leo G.
I mean, if you got the confidence to do that, then yeah, go nuts. Yeah. But, like, I'm talking about if you're in a circle of friends who already know you. And then you want a nickname.
You guys can still do that shit.
I mean,
you can say what you prefer.
See, said the guy with all the confidence.
I like confidence.
Nah. You got that swagger. You got that, you have that air about you where you say you can because you can.
I get it.
You get it?
Like, I respect it.
Lots of people can't.
I'm
with it. So again, check a bias the door.
Sure. No, but it's not a bias because you can, even though you won't, but you can.
Sure. No, you totally can. But generally speaking, there's like that unwritten rule among large groups of people.
Right.
You try to push a nickname on yourself, people will be like, you better have a damn good reason.
Nah, I hear you. It's just like that. It's just like, so I had a friend, right? I have a friend. Her name is Kate.
Yeah.
Right? But until it's like her 30s, we call it Katie. And like, that's how we were as Katie.
Okay.
And one afternoon, she was like, yo.
Okay.
It's KB.
So let me check my cultural bias at the door for a moment. I was in the military.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up in a world where if you do something stupid, you get a fucking nickname. You don't get to pick your fucking nickname in the
military. It's an insult almost.
They just call me Grills because my teeth are fucked up. Yeah,
exactly.
I got it.
I had a nickname and it was the fucking dumbest nickname.
That's hair.
We gotta say it now.
Yeah, you gotta say it now.
In boot camp.
Okay.
Right. We had these inspections and the drill instructors would come in. We had to prep our rooms totally pristinely. All the sheets done in like nice little corners. Our shit all piled up. Nice, perfect little things. And they come in and then they just start looking for problems. Like we had this whole checklist. It was like in our, in our like student manual. And at the end of it, I had gotten the seal of approval that I had passed.
Nice.
As my drill instructor was walking out of my room, he sees on my desk a fingernail.
Nah.
I had been, right before we were going to like be inspected and stand at attention. I'm like, fuck, my fingernails are too long. I don't know.
Fucked up.
I just had to cut them. And I'm like, snip, snip, snip. And I was set at my desk, snip, snip, snip. Sweep into my hand, throw them in the trash, done. I missed one.
Yeah, you fucked up.
Yeah.
That's how the military is, though. Like, the military is more about, I gotcha.
I gotta hear the nickname. What was the nickname?
Fingernail. It's practical on that shit because you know why? You get, and that's out of love. Because this.
I love how you knew what it was.
Yo, you know how, you know, because the room was so pristine. That's why she got the nickname.
So
it wasn't about any, it wasn't about the fucking attention. This is like I said another. It was like the clean, like the people who try to beat the system will get the fucking nickname.
Yeah.
Not trying to beat them, but are like neat. If you're neat in the military, anything that you do good, somebody will find a flaw in it because the culture is that's what makes you better. But because of that, fingernails, like they know, like, she'll never miss that again. You better not ever fucking miss that again.
Wait, so is it... And the whole group knew, too.
Yeah. That's what it is. Like,
what the fuck is this?
Yeah, they can pull out of that shit. What the big deal.
What the
yeah, I had a dude, I had a dude get his fucking bed thrown out the window.
What?
Yeah.
Dude, it's in the corner.
Yeah.
Dude, that's crazy. That's just like raging out. That's like...
But that's how it is.
The point is they are gauging how you react to situations.
Yeah.
It's literally...
You gotta breathe. It's all about breathing.
These things are literally designed to stress you out. They do not want people in the military who are going to crack under
pressure.
If they keep cracking this,
right.
They got a prayer.
Do drill instructors in your guys' like experiences like target people who are trying to like beat the system, be perfect? Yes. Like,
yeah. Yes. That's what I'm saying. You always get that. So, like, for example, if I'll give you another boot camp example, but like I had a buddy, he would get mail every day.
Okay.
Right? Everyone doesn't get mail every day because like people don't have girlfriends. But like this dude, he did it right. Like he started hooking up with mad girls before just to get a lot of mail because we couldn't use the phone like that. That's
fucking genius.
So he would get mail every day. He would get mail every day. And then so Joseph was like, he goes, listen, motherfuckers, you're in the army now. So you motherfuckers better have these bitches right in fucking black only, right? And because you're in the fucking Navy, you're not a Marine, blue, none of that shit, just black only. But you know, girls, they're like gonna write in pink, purple, hearts on the envelope. Nah, he's like push the fuck up for that shit.
Single kiss on the envelope.
Yeah. Oh, none, if you had perfume on, like anything, this motherfucker would smell that shit, and then they'd be like, "Yo, you're done. You're done,
what
bitch."
What would he do?
Push-ups, push a punishment, or go run the hill, go do some shit. But at the end of the day, this dude's running the hill and all that shit, but he got fucking 20 letters to come back to him. And I got one. You know what I'm saying? So he's trying to like...
His ass is running with a smile.
Yeah, he's embracing the suck, and then at the end of the day, it's making him stronger.
I could have taken all the beatings in the world if it meant I was coming home to a letter.
Yeah, letters, like that letter shit is big shit. Like,
oh my God. Because
you're so lonely. And everybody, like, kind of hate, because you kind of, like, learning how to be a team.
Yeah.
And, like, it's not working. Because you got people from all over the country, and it's just not working. Like, motherfuckers think differently. And, like, some people think on the spot, and some people, like, need to fucking have, like, a forum. And, like, it's just not going to happen. Like, especially, like, the first couple weeks, it's just not going to happen.
Is it, like, is it like called roommates like first day, like, oh fuck, I'm living next to this guy, like I got a room with this guy for the next 3 months.
Nah,
like,
I think it's almost like that, but it's, you gotta look at it like this. Like, I'm not saying like the people who join the military are like the worst people in the world, but like in boot camp, like fighting is an option, right? If somebody fucks up, like physical punishment is like an option, even if it's between peers. And everything is going to come down to being physical. at first. So nobody's trying to see how fucking smart you are. As soon as you show how smart you are, you're going to get a job. And you want sleep. That's the biggest shit you want is fucking sleep. And if and the judge was like, oh, you smart. Yeah, write down everything I say. Just like that. Yeah.
100%.
That's fucking crazy. But yeah. I don't understand. Like, that would sort of, like, discourage being smart in my
opinion. Wouldn't know. You wouldn't know.
It's to encourage falling in line.
Yeah. You wouldn't know.
You learn that there is value in falling in line.
Yeah.
Especially when the point is to be organized. There is a time and a place for stepping out of line to be better than the rest, or stepping back because you can't. Otherwise, fall in line.
Let me tell you some shit. My last high hustle on this. When I went to boot camp, it was 2000.
Yeah. Right?
And this fucking, like, some kids never had a bank account. They never had a fucking debit card, nothing. So, like, if you didn't have that, they would sign you up. But it fascinated some kids, like, that they could look at the ATM and see, like, their balance.
Yeah.
But, like, the drug truck told us not to. Right?
Okay.
And some motherfuckers just had to, because it's like they never seen the fucking computer printout. I remember just on, like, jumping from a tree and, like, tackling a motherfucker, bro. I mean, like, you want to see your motherfucking money? He said, take that motherfucking car and fucking, he grabbed his car and fucking flung it and told him to fucking crawl to that shit.
No, my God. Yeah, I bet he was dying when that kid was running away, too.
Yeah, I bet. Laughing like a motherfucker.
So I didn't go to proper boot camp. Mm-hmm. I went to OCS, Officer Candidate School, which is affectionately known as Fork and Knife School.
Right.
Officers come in. They have to do basically common boot camp type shit, where the drill instructors come in and they fucking beat you up.
Mm-hmm. But give you shit.
Toward the end of the time there, though, you fall into a leadership role, but you're all officers, so you have to do random things. So when you're in that phase, you actually get to see a unique perspective, because then you have to, like, work with the drill instructors to bring the lower classes up.
Right.
So we got to actually schmooze with these motherfuckers.
Oh, so you get to know them.
Yes. So we got this, like, behind the scenes look at what the drill instructors are like when they're just shooting the shit.
They're humans.
They are human beings that just have permission to be assholes.
Yeah, they like the asshole uncle.
And they have this, like, kink for being,
what the fuck?
I'm sorry for, like,
no, for
those sure. out there, but I've talked to a couple of them. I'm not speculating. It's like they get off on this shit.
What the fuck? Yeah.
Like, I would never say that they actually did it literally, but you talk to them and they just fucking love this shit. They love fucking with people, and it's hilarious.
It's like hazing, though. Like, you know, if you go to school and, like, if you weren't equated to something like from college, it's like you get, like, you're being accepted to their fraternity, and, like, their only job is to gatekeep. No bitch assness in this shit.
Yeah. These guys just, if you're going to be a little bitch,
you can't take it personal.
Like, and my class was all submariners except for, like, a handful of pilots.
Okay.
And we actually had, like, extra care in this regard. Because at least, like, we should have had if we didn't actually. Because everyone on a submarine has to be able to fight a fucking fire. You know, you can't run away from a fire on a submarine.
Yeah.
That's true. On an aircraft carrier. There's a fucking division. You drop your wrench, you run away. You're not going to sink from a fire. On a submarine, you'll sink.
Shit.
That'll kill everyone.
And so you see a fire, you fucking run to the thing, pull the alarm, grab a thing, and the alarm sounds and everyone comes running to it.
There's no, it's like.
How many motherfuckers on a submarine?
Hold on. Underway, about 120, depending on circumstances.
So I'm thinking, like, if everyone has a job, how many cooks?
Cooks, I think there's like 5 or 6.
Damn, we got cook for 3 meals a day for 120 people.
That's crazy. Large batches.
Yeah, but then, like, you think about, like, chances, like, of having a fire. Yeah. You know what I mean? You got cooking fast and shit.
Yeah, a big deep fryer. Yeah.
3 meals. Yeah.
And, like, being able to, like,
it's a risk.
Like, the entire time, maintain, like, a level of muscle mass that you need for the military.
Oh, yeah,
and, like, the amount of nutrition that you need to put into your body to maintain that muscle mass.
Are you working?
Jesus
though?
Christ.
Nah, yeah, you working though.
We had great on the submarine. We had great food.
No, but, like, good. So we talk about, like, muscle mass, right? Like, the military is, like, one of those jobs where, like, they don't frown on, like, working out. So you could go, you working out for 2-3 hours if you want to, and then the meals are always there. Most Americans, I would think, don't eat 3 square a day.
I think you're right.
Yeah, I mean, but then you might, I mean, at least in the army, you might be walking 10 miles a day. You might be running 4 miles. So like 3 meals, like you appreciate that shit. So that's when you talk about muscle mass, it's like you can get it. It's there for you.
No, see, I was pounding like 3,000 calories a day.
Yeah, see?
Jesus Christ.
Like we were hungry.
Oh my God.
Like we were getting beat. Like,
no, I believe it.
I hate to, this is the only thing that comes to mind, like CrossFit.
I mean, yeah.
I mean, and as far as tribalism, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
As far as tribalism, but as far as like working out, shit, yeah. Because you can't stop.
Okay.
You can't stop when you're tired, basically. So it's like having a trainer.
Yeah.
That's like fucking with you.
Yeah.
And like, yo, no matter what, you gotta do what they say. Yeah. You can't be like, fuck you, trainer. Like, yo, what? Bitch, get the fuck
out. Yeah. If you puss out, they did their job.
Yeah. That's a good one.
Like, they pat themselves on the back.
Because
they got a weakling out. Like from some of their perspectives, that's kind of their job. They're trying to figure out who needs help getting through this.
Yeah.
Right.
And at OCS at least, they didn't kick anyone out.
And boot camp, like I see motherfuckers like polish like brush rocks with toothbrushes for like a week.
Yeah, I thought that was like a joke.
That's a little extreme.
Yeah, that's what fuck happened. Charlie Rock.
That's even like I like that stuff that was like 20 years ago though. Is that something that's still going on now?
Probably not. I would say not because they got like stress cards now.
Yeah.
But I feel like, I don't know, like again, it's subjective, right? Cause like what I might think is hard, because my cousin just went through.
Yeah.
Smoked it. You know what I mean? But like he's like, yo, it's the hardest shit I ever did. And I'm like, yo, dude, I spent so much time shining boots and you don't have to shine boots anymore. What the fuck did you do?
Yeah.
And it's like, yo, we're in the books. So like that's where it's a little different. You know what I mean? Like I feel like we were more of a brute force before.
Uh-huh.
But now it's a little different. Like they're a little smarter, a little more charismatic.
Interesting. So like they got it down to more an exact science rather than, you know, hitting everyone with a sledgehammer or like is but that
I feel
accurate?
Like it still happens though. Like I feel like if you're like in OCS, I feel like that's like in OCS, I like they from what I heard, a friend told me like, yo, they gotta read a book a week.
Yeah. Yeah.
They had a book report.
Damn.
While doing everything else.
That's crazy. I mean, it makes sense though, because like I mean, if you wanna write like say like something bad happens and you want to be able to send it up the line, like a written report is probably the only way to reasonably do that, you know?
Nah, but they have there's ways to do a written report. Like you can, that's not it. They do that shit to fuck to see your resilience.
That's just literally to make sure you don't fucking snap.
Yeah.
Like seriously. You believe it.
Wait. We're back to the crazy topic. What are you talking about?
No, because sometimes like if somebody's trying to brainwash you, right?
Yeah.
And like all brainwashing is not bad. So it's just like for example, when you first go to boot camp, you see like they like line you up to shower. Right?
What the fuck?
Yeah, hell yeah. So you line you up to shower.
I was showering with like 40 other dudes at one time.
All right, so like everybody's fucking butt ass niggas like in a line to shower.
Damn.
Like real quick. Especially like the first week. And then like when you everybody's like
liked it more than others.
In front of their people like in front of their bunk with the towel. And then dudes are like trying to hit their nuts with the towel first.
What?
And then he's like, yo, why the fuck would you dry your nuts before you dry your face? And then motherfuckers are like, yo, he's right. You know what I mean? So it's just like, he's like, yo, I never want to see you put the towel by your dick before you put it by your face.
Oh my
God. So it was like, yo, fucking pro tip. You know what I mean?
So this is post-shower, though, right?
Post-shower, yeah.
But are your, so after shower,
you should be clean.
Your balls or your face?
It doesn't matter. Like, yo, but like, we were his group. No. At the end of the day, I still fucking hit my face before I hit my nuts. Right?
And that just sounds like another thing to like.
It's like a break. I was brainwashed to do that. So like, after that shit, he was like, I never want to see that shit. And I knew I was fucking spending the next 120 days with him. So like, I just never did that shit.
Do you still do it?
Yes.
Damn.
Nice.
Yeah.
Damn.
So it was like, you would say, okay, I was brainwashed in that sense. But it's like, because it made sense to me at that time, I was like, yo, he's right. But then fucking wash my hands before I fucking take a piss.
So you're saying it's like, it's better, like, you didn't see as much harm in it, and then like, the benefits that you got from doing something together and like unifying you with the group that you were in, you saw the benefits outweighing the negatives.
Yeah, because it's a cool thing to do. You see what I'm saying? Like, I think it's a cool experience to have, especially when you finish.
Wait, what the fuck?
Pause. Yeah. No, pause. No. It's like going to boot camp and shit like that. I feel like it's the biggest thing you do, and it's the coolest shit you finish when you finish.
Yeah.
Right? When you complete the course.
Yeah.
Right? But I feel like it's... Like, you couldn't pay me $50,000 to do that shit.
Never.
Yeah. Not a million. It's just like the humiliation and all that shit. But I don't regret it.
No.
Yeah. You see what I'm saying? It's one of those weird things. That's crazy,
but it sounds like Stockholm Syndrome.
A little bit.
Maybe, yeah.
Oh, my God. You got both agreed immediately.
Yeah, maybe.
A little bit. It's just like...
I love my oppressor. I met these motherfuckers after, though.
Did you?
Yeah, and like friends on some friendship.
I think it's a little different because I come like from where I ended up. Like I if you can't go through that, there is value in the idea that if you can't get through this, I really don't want you on my job.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
I need you to be able to save my life.
It's like you ever seen that movie or read the book, The Boys on the Boat?
I've had that recommended to me like a dozen times. I can't believe I've never read it.
Yeah. So you wrote Crew, right?
Yeah.
Everybody is important.
Oh my God.
And like Sam said, you don't want the motherfucker that's gonna be like, yeah, I'm tired.
Yeah. It's like it's no offense. It's like nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, I say it's not personal, but it's just sorry, you can't. Given the 10 people who want to join, but we can only take 5.
Damn.
Sorry. Yeah. The ones who can actually complete this course are the ones who are gonna go.
It's like making big team.
Yeah.
I look at it like that.
You just have to
demonstrate. Like a 100-player football team.
You have to demonstrate
125. That. Like, all of that shit is like, Malcolm Gladwell said that shit. Like, you could be controlled to a certain number. I think it's like 125.
But,
to where you could control, like, culture and influence.
Yeah.
Anyway, go ahead.
10-minute warning.
10-minute warning. Yep, now.
All right. Like
56 minutes.
I've heard about that. I studied a lot of different cultures in, like, East Europe. I did a Russian minor in college, and it was talking about how like these like rural communities would keep in like would consistently be in like around 100 people, and like because that was kind of like the congregation, the number of people that felt most comfortable and the most resilient to like diseases and things, and like they didn't want people like there was a lot I learned about like cultures around monsters and vampires and mythology and talking about how it's bad to leave your zadruga. That was the name of like the local town or the local like family or like the big place that you're living in or like, cause the spread of disease and thing was heavily discouraged. So it's wild how humans always fall into like it seems like an arbitrary number. You know what I mean?
I mean, you're an engineer, so you know, like there's a number for everything.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So, like, all it takes is the research.
Name all the numbers.
Go. No, but, like, no, because, but if the research is correct, if it's right, it's going to work. And people will spend their lifetime trying it.
Yep.
You know, and then write the journal and do all these things just so the next generation can grab it and improve on it.
Yeah.
So... And that's how you, and to me, that's how greatness is formed.
Yeah.
Right. You look at what happened in the past and you just improve it. And then you leave it out there for people to know. Like people like that whole secrets about what they do.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's like, yo, dude, like if we're trying to do something like almost the same,
you can't be having that level of distrust.
Exactly. Because I could break through what you couldn't break through in 10 years just from understanding what you know.
All right. Last question. I want to throw it out there.
Let's hear it.
So, apocalypse happens.
Yep.
Internet's gone.
Yep.
Digital creativity is basically
dead.
No longer a thing.
Mm-hmm.
How are you going to modify your creative outlets, etc.?
Or to a tradition is
or older. Your day.
Yeah. Or to our tradition has been way older than anything written down, and arguably is more important to people. And honestly, I think I am biased to saying that right now because of how much we've been talking about the connection between people tonight and about how important it is to communicate like an emotion and like definitely, I would maintain my level of creativity through oral storytelling and incorporating like sounds into my stories, like, and then giant monster attack, like, you know, like I would learn how to better, you know, perform and emote to people. That's what I would do.
I agree with Leo, but I disagree because I think,
which is
it? No, I disagree. Yeah, I agree.
That's important.
I agree with him because of it. He's optimistic, but I think that with the advent of technology, we've lost certain skills.
Okay.
So, for example, I can't get to a place. I can, but it would take me a hard time to get to a place without my phone.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
And I understand how to read basic map reading. Yep. I've done it in the military. I've done it, and I know. But, like, I need my phone now.
Did you ever travel anywhere where you had to print out a map?
Oh, yeah, I hike. I'm trying to do the 46 peaks in the Adirondacks.
Some dudes trying to do it, too.
Yeah, dude, we should totally do it together, man.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you guys are insane.
Yeah, it's so awesome. I fucking love hiking. All
right. Oh, hey, let's do an episode on top of every peak.
Oh.
That'd be pretty rad.
Let me do.
That would be so sick.
Yeah. It'd be pretty fucking cool.
Sam, doesn't sound like you want to do it, though.
I'll do it if that's what we're doing.
All right. You're a ride or die. You are a ride or die. Some
gimmicky thing? Yeah. If it's just to climb a mountain, you guys are insane.
wait. But go back to your answer to wrap up what we said.
Let's hear what you would do without the technology apocalypse.
I would really put a lot of heart and soul into learning an instrument.
Okay. Mm. Okay.
Because I want to be a part of like a band or something.
Okay, now, yeah. So I feel like you want to do that now.
I do, but there's so many other things that I want to do in lieu of that.
All right, so like to wrap us up because we're about to fucking hang this shit up.
Yep.
Top five things you fucking want to do.
Top five. What?
No, I should have said that.
One thing we're gonna do the next week. One thing.
Ooh,
we're
gonna right, do that's the good. Next that's week. A good one.
One thing. Do. I'm gonna get it. I'm gonna replace the string on my cello and practice cello.
I am going to, you know what, I'm gonna play a basic song on the keyboard that I have in my apartment. Fantastic. Even in front of me.
Fantastic. Miles?
I guess I'm gonna set these cameras up.
Hey, there you go. Yeah,
that's gonna be honestly the most important thing, more important than my thing at least. But that's not to be put to a ranking.
That's interesting how, like, what I'm inspired with this, what I got from this episode is I have to redefine my goals again. And I have to, like, write them down because, like,
yep.
I have to think about that. And, like, that's not safe for me. You know what I mean? Like, for me, like, I should be pecking away at something that I planned.
So don't, can I interject with maybe just a.
Yeah, that was my final word. Your turn.
Thought there. Don't stray away from something because it's necessarily unsafe. First, think about how you can mitigate the risk of it going poorly.
I like poorly, though. Like, I live in chaos. But
No, that's not what I mean. No, you can't invite mental health risks.
What do you mean?
Undertaking something because it's not safe doesn't inherently mean you shouldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
It means that you should think about what are the risks and think about how to prevent them from happening.
Mm.
If you have a plan,
that's a good game.
That's called risk management.
Yeah, that's a good game.
You should never shy away from something inherently because it's risky. Come up with a fucking plan first. And if you can't, then okay.
I think that's what I was saying. Like,
but if you can, articulate what the risks are and articulate how you're going to prevent them from preventing you from achieving your goal.
Right.
Yep.
So that you can be like, okay, shit, this thing's happening. Here was my plan.
No, but my concern was that I didn't have a goal set.
That's the problem.
Yeah. And like, so that's what I'm saying. Like, so today or probably tomorrow morning, I'm going to just redefine my goals to myself.
Do you know what that's for goals?
Yes.
Look into it again.
All right.
I know there's a life coach.
I mean, well, yeah. look it up again. You know about smart goals.
Yeah, I do.
Fucking start writing some.
I am.
Good.
And that's what I'm going to do.
I'm going to play a sample of my cello music.
Next week? I'll get a little piano thing going. I'm at least five different note pitches. At least five different keys.
Great.
I
want to hear some of your smart goals, Miss.
You want to hear them now?
No,
next week. Yeah, definitely. Hallmark. I have this shit fucking. I have it ready.
Oh, yeah, I'll bang out some of my own.
All right. Is that what we're doing? All right. Any final words?
Thank you for having me. I love being here.
All right.
You look fantastic.
I'm Miles.
I'm Leo.
Samantha.
Till next time.
Peace.
Oh, that was sick. You can cut that.